In August of 2016, Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump published the first installment of what would become a major international hit series. Written by the pseudonymous Kayu Shirai, whose real identity remains a secret, with artwork by Posuka Demuzu, The Promised Neverland was a breakout horror fantasy success, telling the story of young, orphaned children living in a world run by demons who raise human children as a source of food. The series racked up awards from its very first year in print, and in the genre of shonen manga, or boys' comics, it caught the attention of Western audiences with its protagonist, the 11-year-old girl, Emma. In a genre that is largely known for its casts featuring powerful men and overtly sexualized women, Emma stands out as a character who is not drawn for the male gaze, and who proves herself consistently to be just as, or even more adventurous, intelligent, and loyal as any young male series star to populate the pages of the weekly comics magazines. Of course, while audiences find Emma a refreshing change from the way shonen manga has traditionally depicted women, the idea of boys' comics being for girls, too, is not exactly new in Japan. Sales and reader engagement numbers for Shonen Jump in recent years have shown that the boys' magazine has an audience that is evenly split between young women and men, and today, roughly 77% of the manga industry's writers across all genres are women. Since 1991's publication of Clamp School Defenders, the all-female manga collective known as Clamp has moved effortlessly between shonen manga and its traditional girls' counterpart, shoujo, frequently carrying elements of each genre with them into the other. And two of the biggest names in shonen manga and anime of the 1980s were women who frequently featured female leads in their comics: Ghost in the Shell creator Masamune Shirow and Rumiko Takahashi, the creator of the atmospheric and violent horror fantasy Mermaid Saga, as well as the gender-bending martial arts romantic comedy Ranma ½. In fact, the behind-the-scenes role of women in manga goes back to post-war Japan, the time period that many consider the birth of modern Japanese comics. This is the story of the woman who is widely recognized in Japan as the first woman to work in manga professionally, Machiko Hasegawa. Machiko Hasegawa was born on January the 30th, 1920, in what is now Taku in the Saga Prefecture. She was the third born of four daughters, although one of her older sisters would die early in childhood. The family would move to Haruyoshi, Fukuoka City, where they would live until the death of her father in 1933. Machiko adored her father, whom she would describe as a very handsome gentleman who could be childish at times with a short temper, something that she says each of his daughters inherited from him. In 1934, the family would move to Tokyo, where the 14-year-old Machiko would complete her schooling. Manga was exploding as an art form in Japan at the time, and one of the most popular around was Norakuru, written by Suiwa Tagawa. Machiko discovered the comic and quickly fell in love with it, and the 14-year-old girl declared to her family that she wanted to apprentice under the comic's creator. Her mother and older sister reached out to Tagawa, and the popular mangaka took Machiko under his wing, accepting her as his apprentice. Suiwa and his wife had never had children of their own, so Machiko briefly moved into their home while working as his apprentice, and Tagawa would encourage her to work on her own manga. She would debut in print in 1935 with Raccoon's Mask in Shoujo Club, which ran alongside a photo profile of the young artist entitled Girl Genius. At 19 years old, Machiko Hasegawa crossed over from amateur and freelancer status to a full-fledged manga professional, debuting with 1939's Hihu Mio-chan and continuing in 1940 with Nakayoshi Teiko, a story of three schoolgirls living in Tokyo that originally ran in the pre-war Shoujo Club magazine. Hasegawa was, in fact, a shoujo artist, creating comics and stories intended for young girls. Many young artists had their careers put on hold around the world during World War II, and Hasegawa was no exception. Comics work dried up as Japan redirected resources to the war effort, and as the war continued, Japan constantly revised its guidelines for conscription. Japanese men prior to the war already served a mandatory 2 years in the armed services at age 20, and would remain on reserve status until the age of 40, with only firstborn sons, active students, and teachers exempt from the requirement. But as the war continued, Japan would first make all Japanese males over 20 subject to conscription, regardless of their student status. And by 1944, the minimum age for conscription had been lowered to 15. Rumors were already circulating about the draft expanding to include young women as well, and in an effort to keep Machiko or any of her sisters from being conscripted, her family moved from Tokyo to Momochi, Fukuoka City, where Machiko got a job as an art critic for the daily newspaper Nishi Nippon Shimbun. She would later describe her work there as a cushy job, with an excellent salary that only required her to come into work at noon and leave at 4 p.m., and the rest of her day she would spend working with her family. As for the rumored change in the conscription laws, Japan would indeed start requiring women between the ages of 17 and 40 to sign up to be pressed into the National Resistance Program, where they would be trained as a final defense force if Japan was invaded by Allied troops. But Machiko avoided being drafted with her position as a newspaper reporter in a smaller city. Machiko would not publish any manga during the war. Her next comic would be a six-panel strip featured in Nishi Nippon Shimbun's magazine, Come On, published immediately after the end of the war in September of 1945. But as for her cushy job at the paper, Machiko would resign from the position of art critic only one day after the war ended, when she was no longer in danger of being drafted. The newspaper would still prove invaluable to the Hasegawa family, however. Machiko's connection to the paper got her an invitation to write a serialized manga for Fukunichi Shimbun, a paper affiliated with Nishi Nippon Shimbun. The comic that resulted, Sazai-san, quickly gained in popularity, and Machiko, along with her sister Mariko, would be offered jobs at a Tokyo-based publisher, moving the family once more to the city, at a time when population in the city was very strictly controlled due to looming food shortages. But before they made the move, Machiko's mother, Sadako, had an idea that she shared with her and her sisters. With Machiko's comic strip as their star product, Sadako Hasegawa and her three daughters founded the publishing company known as Sisters in December of 1946. Using the money from the sale of their Fukuoka house as seed money for the business. Their first title, a collected volume of the earlier Sazai-san comics, went on sale at a cover price of only 12 yen. The same month, Sazai-san, which had been on a brief hiatus during the family's move, would resume publication in the Fukunichi Evening Bulletin, and the sisters' publishing company would oversee syndicating Sazai-san to local papers all over Japan. Simply put, Sazai-san is the story of a young woman, Sazai, and her family. Sazai was a modern, liberated woman whose neighbors were troubled by her strength and independence. In Machiko's eyes, Sazai was the core of the modern Japanese family that was developing in the wake of World War II. In fact, Sazai was so central to the family in the comic that her husband, Masuo, didn't even have his face appear in the comic strip until the end of its original run in Fukuoka. The strip was topical and didn't shy away from political messages, often embracing a wave of liberalism in post-war Japan. The strip became a major pop cultural phenomenon and made its author a household name in her home country. In 1966, While still drawing Sazae-san, Machiko would also launch Granny Mischief, a black comedy strip. The purposefully naughty and mean-spirited main character Granny was modeled on Machiko herself, according to Machiko Hasegawa. Health problems almost derailed Machiko's career in 1967 when, at the age of 47, she underwent surgery to remove 4/5 of her stomach, reportedly due to a severe stomach ulcer. In fact, it was not an ulcer, something that not even Machiko herself knew. Her family had previously watched her sister Yoko's husband die from cancer, and the experience had left such an impression on Machiko that she had frequently told her family ever since that she would rather take her own life than deal with the disease herself. So when the family learned from Machiko's doctor that she, in fact, had advanced stomach cancer, they kept the diagnosis from Machiko and from her public as well, concocting the story of a severe ulcer to cover the need for surgery. Machiko's comics briefly went on hiatus during this time, and her own family encouraged her to consider retirement during her recovery. But Machiko returned to manga shortly after, encouraged by Dr. Tsuneaki Nakayama, her family physician, who had overseen her treatment. Machiko Hasegawa would continue actively working in manga and related media until her passing in 1992 from heart failure. In her later years, she had grown intensely private and had stopped appearing in public or on television, and in accordance with a request in her will, her death was not even announced to the public until over a month after her small, private funeral had already taken place. After this sponsored break, the lasting legacy of Sazae-san in popular culture and in the Japanese legal system. Sazae-san is a comic form referred to in Japan today as Yonkoma, a name that roughly translated means four cells. It's a gag strip drawn in four panels of equal size, a format very familiar to Western audiences. After all, I basically just described Peanuts, Bloom County, and any of a number of popular daily comics from the newspaper funny pages. The original series ran from April of 1946 until February of 1974, when, officially, it went on hiatus, but it never returned. It had published approximately 6,500 strips in that time, which had been collected in 45 volumes. A brief spin-off or sequel series would follow a few years later, in addition to other series that Machiko would produce. But as happens frequently around the world, a successful comic has a life beyond the pages on which it first appears. Sazae-san would be adapted to a radio drama beginning in 1955, and in the same year, a live-action television series launched on JOKR-TV, Channel 6 Tokyo, the original form of what would become today's Tokyo Broadcasting System, or TBS. A second live-action series would run on TBS from 1965 to 1967, and in October of 1969, Fuji TV would begin airing an original animated series based on Machiko Hasegawa's original characters. That anime adaptation would run from 1969 to, well, it's still running, actually. At over 8,300 episodes produced and aired as of this recording, it holds the Guinness World Record for the longest-running animated television series. As you might imagine, it has seen many changes in that time. Originally, the ending of each episode featured Sazae tossing a rice cake in the air and catching it in her mouth. But after doctors at Tohoku University Hospital and the National Center for Child Health and Development raised concerns that children might attempt to imitate the act, the series switched to Sazae breaking the fourth wall to play a Genkan game with viewers. For those of us in the West, that's rock, paper, scissors. Sazae-san would also be the last animated television series in Japan to use traditional cell animation, making the transition to digital finally in 2013. But perhaps no change made in the format of the series is quite as stark as the change in cultural context. While the comic strip and its cartoon adaptation had been daring and pushed the envelope at its launch, in modern Japan, Sazae-san holds a place of reverence as a depiction of a simpler, less complicated time. It has become a centerpiece for Japanese nostalgia, and it even serves as the namesake of Sazae-san syndrome, which is the depressed mood that you get on a Sunday night when you realize that the weekend is coming to a close. So called because Sazae-san airs on Sunday nights, the last moment of freedom and joy for many families before the work week begins. It's hard to measure the impact of something like Sazae-san and the career of its creator, Machiko Hasegawa. The ripple effect spreads far and wide. It would be like trying to measure the impact of Tintin in Europe, or Peanuts in America. Just when you think you have a handle on what it means to everybody, something else pops up to lead you in a different direction. But there is one more lasting addition to Sazae-san's legacy that I would like to tell you about today. In 1951, after the comic had already become a success, but before it would jump into its first adaptation on the radio, Tachikawa Bus established a tour bus division of its company. Hoping to cash in on the success of the strip, Tachikawa would set aside 27 of its new tour buses and use them as a fleet for what they called Sazae-san Tours. Each of the buses was decorated with paintings depicting the well-known faces of Sazae, her little brother Katsuo, and her little sister Wakame. A very clever way to catch the attention of Japanese tourists on vacation, but it's worth noting that this entire business, the use of the characters, the naming of the tour line, everything that set it apart from the rest of Tachikawa's tour business, was built on the use of Machiko Hasegawa's characters, and it had all been done without seeking permission from Machiko or the sisters' publishing company. 19 years later, in 1970, Hasegawa formally filed a request for an injunction to stop the use of her characters on Tachikawa's buses, and in 1971, she followed up with a civil lawsuit demanding compensation. Tachikawa fought the case with a very simple argument. Up until that point, Japanese copyright law had not considered individual characters to be subject to copyright. Hasegawa, Tachikawa's lawyers argued, held all the copyrights to her stories and comic strips, but the characters themselves were just characters, and not complete works of fiction unto themselves, and, therefore, she had no right to claim exclusive control over them. The case would drag out for 4 years until, finally, the Tokyo District Court ruled in favor of Hasegawa. She had control over her characters, even though copyright law had never before applied to individual characters, on the grounds that a character was an expression of the appearance, figure, personality, etc. of a person who appears in the story. Hasegawa would receive only half of the damages she had sought, but even that proved to be a substantial payment. Tachikawa was forced to repaint their buses and rebrand their tour business, and a legal precedent would be established. Before long, the Japanese legislature would amend their copyright law to allow authors and artists to copyright individual characters and not just the stories in which they appeared. A major change to the nation's intellectual property law, all started by the first woman to ever work professionally as a manga creator. For all of its cultural popularity in Japan, it can be difficult to find episodes of Sazae-san, in large part because the studio still follows Machiko Hasegawa's request that the program should never be merchandised, a restriction they have also taken to include any form of home video release. Thanks for downloading and listening to Glenn's Notebook. We'll be back in another week with more notes on movies, television, and media, and maybe some more additional material from The Film Optimist. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you subscribe. It helps a lot. Also, make sure to check out The Film Optimist on YouTube if you haven't already. You can learn more at filmoptimist.cu. That's filmoptimist.cyou. Until next time, watch like it means something.